where I is an authority and knows what he's talking about.
I think there's an enormous amount of hostility in you that would explain perhaps why you may be alone right now.
Do you think that man to make it better?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Catskill Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting Catskill, Acre, Hudson, 90.7 FM, WG.org, or WGXC.org. Sorry about that, guys. I'm having a long day. But besides that, today we're going to talk about the inevitable, some of the sad news that's going on. It's sad, but we're also going to acknowledge it and talk about good ways to cope with your mental health and cope with the world kind of hurting you a bit. The world getting you down so you get yourself back up again, that type of show. But that being said, we're going to finish this song and then we're going to go to the news and weather. See you guys soon on WGXE Clubhouse Radio.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Steve Hughes is reporting for the Times Union. A lawsuit has been filed against Albany Medical Center based on allegations of racial and political bias at the health facility. Albany Med fired Jamaica Miles, a local community activist, as well as two executives who played a role in hiring her, less than a month after she joined the staff. Hospital executives expressed concerns about Miles' political views and outspoken advocacy, according to the lawsuit filed this week in State Supreme Court in Albany. According to the lawsuit, Miles was hired earlier this year to serve as Albany Med's Director of Community Engagement. She is a Schenectady-based activist, involved in racial and social justice protests, an active member of the Working Families Party, and a member of the Schenectady City School Board. Her hiring was part of a renewed commitment the hospital was pushing to engage with communities of color. But once top officials at the hospital learned of Miles' selection to the position, they moved to dismiss her, citing, and I quote, extreme political views, end quote, according to the lawsuit filed by Miles and Laura Liebman, the hospital's former assistant vice president of advancement, who was also terminated. James Kellerhouse, the hospital's foundation's vice president for philanthropy and chief development officer, was also fired, but is not a party to the lawsuit. Miles and Liebman's complaint alleges the hospital and its leadership, including CEO Dr. Dennis McKenna and Dr. Vincent Verdal, Dean Emeritus at the hospital's medical college, violated the state's human rights and labor laws by dismissing them. The lawsuit also alleges racial bias. Albany Med issued a statement defending its actions and denied it fired Miles for any of the reasons included in the complaint. The statement reads, and I quote, Albany Med recently made personnel changes in its development department that had nothing at all to do with the race of the employees. Albany Med is a bridge builder. We are caregivers and unifiers, bringing together diverse populations for the betterment of all. Albany Med is proud of our diverse workforce, which is reflective of the community we serve, and we are committed to the highest standards of equality and fairness in employment opportunities for all, end quote. Miles declined to comment beyond what is in the lawsuit. She said, and I quote, everything that needs to be said is written within the filings of the court documents, end quote. Read more in the Times Union. Noah Eckstein is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Hudson Planning Board has approved the site plan for Upper Depot Brewing Company at 708 State Street. The Upper Depot Brewing Company is slated to open this summer or fall. Brewery co-founder Montgomery Bopp said, and I quote, "We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but we are pushing to get open for as much of the summer as possible," end quote. The opening depends on receiving a certificate of occupancy and having the equipment that is needed up and working. The Galvin Foundation owns the property where the brewing company will be located. In 2019, Bot, 34, and his business partner, Aaron Moss, 32, signed a five-year lease with the Galvin Foundation. Bob said, and I quote, "We hope to be there for 10 years at least," end quote. Both men have committed to keeping the ingredients for their beer as locally sourced as possible. Moss, a resident of Stockport, said they will obtain grain from Germantown and hops from a farm in Kinderhook. When the brewery opens, it will operate as a tasting room, and there are also plans to collaborate with the city to hold live music events. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Patricia Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman. Former State Senator Jen Metzger has added her name to the list of Democrats who have declared their intention to run for Ulster County Executive should Pat Ryan win election to Congress. Metzger from Rosendale now sits on the State Cannabis Control Board. She announced her candidacy in a tweet May 25th, stating, and I quote, "Should Pat Ryan represent us in Congress, I will run for Ulster County Executive. The opportunities for our county to be a model of a people-centered, sustainable economy are incredibly exciting, and I would welcome the chance to bring my experience to this important job," end quote. County Comptroller Marge Gallagher and Deputy County Executive Mark Ryder have also announced their plans to seek the Democratic Party endorsement to become County Executive if Ryan is elected to Congress. Gallagher announced her candidacy almost immediately after Ryan announced his plans. In her statement, she said she worked with the executive and legislature to implement, and I quote, "important changes," end quote, in county government. Ulster County Democratic Elections Commissioner Ashley Diddes said that under state law, the parties will choose who will be on the ballot for the special election at party conventions. No Republicans have yet announced their plans to run for county executive. Ryan is running in a special August 23rd election against Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro for the 19th Congressional District seat vacated by now Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado. The winner of the special election will serve in Congress through the end of the year. If Ryan wins, a second special election would be held, this one in late December, to fill the remainder of Ryan's term as county executive, which expires December 31st, 2023. Win or lose in August, Ryan will run again in November for election to the newly drawn 18th Congressional District, and Molinaro will run in November for the newly drawn 19th Congressional District. But if Ryan loses in August and wins in November, he would remain county executive through the end of December, and a special election would be held in April to fill the remainder of his term. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a nice holiday weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, May 27th. Early this morning, temperatures range from 60 degrees up in Twilight Park to 64 down in Hammertown. Soil temperature is a very comfortable, well, comfortable for seedlings anyway, 63 degrees. Cornell Cooperative says heat stress risk today is moderate for lower parts of the valley. That means 2 to 4 hours of stressful time can be expected today. These risks disappear over the weekend. Today, get your chores done in the morning because this afternoon gets rainy, kicking up storms in some places. A high of 77 happens at 3 p.m. Overnight, the rain and storm chances continue as temperatures fall to 65 degrees. The dew point will be very close to this at 63 degrees, so expect it to be pretty muggy. Saturday, lingering rain and some thunder last most of the day, ending by 7 p.m. A high of 72 happens at noon. 55 degrees overnight takes us into a dry, sunny Sunday with a high of 81. Overnight cools to 58 degrees before heading into a hot Memorial Day with a high of 89. Storm season is at hand, with 21 named storms expected this year, and about 8 of them are expected to cause serious damage. It's a good time to think about preparing property for it. Trim and remove those trees, secure loose items. This can include anchoring trailers and boats to the ground. Check over that insurance policy and stock up on emergency supplies. It's a really good idea to have food and water available for each member of the household for at least a week, with a gallon of water being needed per person per day. Cell charger and radio are also good ideas, and don't forget important prescriptions and supplies for those pets. Pollen levels are going to be medium today due to the incoming rain. They will be low tomorrow and are expected to bounce back up on Sunday. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:37 a.m., low tide at 8:11 a.m., high tide again at 1:56 p.m., and low tide once again at 8:15 p.m. Again, that's for Friday. Today's river temperature will be 69 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:05 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:21 a.m. Looking way up, we see G1 class magnetic storms seem possible for Saturday as a coronal mass ejection gives a glancing blow to our planet. Solar wind speed is currently 309 kilometers per second at 37 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 30 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 87. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Get out there and make the best of the weekend, everybody.
Think I like when it rains.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Catskill Clubhouse, broadcasting on WGXC.org, 90.7 FM, Acre Catskill Hudson. And, you know, listening to Joe talk about the weather, I don't know much about the megahertz he's talking about. That's all out of my field of understanding. But I heard him talking about rain, so I played a nice classic, I Think I Like When It Rains, a nice mellow vibe to try to start us off. And today I'm also joined with
hey, it's DJ Phoebs in the house. Good to be back, you know, on the mic, different this time.
So how has your day been, Phoebs? Let's just start with a nice chill introduction.
I appreciate that. It's been a pretty good day. Take someone over to the doctor's appointment. I went grocery shopping. I adopted a goat on Wednesday, so I'm gonna take care of a goat.
That's awesome.
Fun and really cute. Yeah.
That sounds very productive.
I'm pretty off.
If you could have any pet in the world, what would you pick?
Any pet in the world? Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. wow, it's not the same as my favorite animal, right? Because
right?
Favorite
yeah.
animal's not necessarily a good pet.
Have you ever heard of a capybara?
God, yeah. Those
me oh my, they're amazing. They're the biggest rodent, but they get along with, like, any species. They're chill with even, like, alligators and crocodiles. You can see them just
really?
Vibing. Yeah, and then birds, they land on them, and they're just chill. They're chill with humans. You can get pictures of them with cats and all that. They just seem like the ultimate vibe. They're like hippie dog. No, it's like, yeah, hippie dog. As a hippie myself, I would like a hippie dog. That's true. Goats are also very dog-like.
They are. They like to, like, nuzzle. They talk like dogs. They like to play.
Yeah. My cousin owns goats, so I've, like, played with them before. They're really just, like, cool homies, like, companions.
Totally. So yeah. So things are alright here. And, how about you? Long weekend?
Yeah, long weekend. I woke up very early today. Couldn't go back to bed. I'm a little on the tired end, but I'm managing. It's not a bad day by far. Thank you for asking, Phoebs. Today, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking about the bad news and how to cope with some negative things in the world. I was just making sure we get a chill introduction to just mellow us out. Make us comfortable. Make us casual. Yeah.
That's part of it, right? You are modeling what we're going to talk about, which is keeping the balance. You got to be able to take in the news just hard, and then also find ways to keep going, you know? Because at the end of the day, I think the news is hard because we're dealing with the loss of life. And
yeah.
So we got to keep living in some ways to honor what we're sad to lose.
It is very sad to hear of all the lives lost, and I have to say, I send my condolences to the family. I am very sorry that this has happened, and the fact that things like this happen can't go unspoken about. Otherwise, you're pushing a big part of the world under the rug, unfortunately. And I think this is a good time to urge in on the our views expressed at the Catskill Clubhouse organization are not the parent views of the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. Just putting that out
just
there.
Yes. Yeah. Just ours. Yeah. So with that, so there's been a lot going on. So much going on in the news, it's pretty easy to kind of tap out or not really process it all as reality. So yeah, let's for sure just take a minute before we even have this conversation to honor and send regards and respects and well wishes to all of the people who have been impacted by now two mass shooting tragedies, you know, in the last couple of weeks. To get the added news today, it's kind of breaking that officers really didn't respond quickly in Uvalde the way they should have. They've acknowledged that. Just kind of adds even more rage on top of that grief, I'd imagine. So
yeah, I mean, you have teachers like risking their life saving students, and then the cops. There was cops who went and grabbed their own students and then left, which is very unfortunate. It's just very sad.
It feels really...
It's a lot to take in, to say
really,
the least.
It's a lot.
But with stuff...
I'm curious. I don't know if... Obviously, you can't speak on behalf of all young people. But as a person in school, how do each of these breaking stories kind of impact you or your peers? And has it changed over time? Like, was the news of Parkland different than the news of this one? I'm just curious how young
well that's a great question
process it
it's definitely tough. I've noticed, like, a lot of people in my generation, especially people I tend to associate with it, tend to, like, make humor of it to try to cope, but it's tough to deal with. In schools now, we every door has a lock and you needed a monitor to, like, swipe their card to go in. You really can't go out the bathrooms without signing out. And on top of that, I think it's tough that it's hard to really put into words this tragedy. I'm speechless, and I pray for all the lives lost. I really hope that they can get by, but it's sad when stuff like this happens. And I think this is a perfect segue to think about ways to cope with it. Because a lot of the times when you look on the news and there's a negative story, it can just kind of bitter your day. I think it's important to acknowledge it, but at the same time, you have to learn to let go. Or at least that's my view. I'm curious how you, or your opinion on this.
Yeah, I think you're so right, and I'm glad we're talking about this today. And, you know, first thing I'll say is that anybody listening, everybody's journey to emotional peace and wellness is totally unique. So you need to find your own way, and I hope that there's little bits in this that you can take away. You know, like I said in the beginning, I think the reason the news is so tragic is because we, as people, value life and value wellness and value justice and value peace. So when we see those things not happening in the world, it's really tragic. But I think to shut down and to then deny ourselves life and peace and joy, it feeds the beast, you know? It's going to make the world an even more tragic place. So I found this really interesting quote by Susie Moser in a book called All We Can Save. This is in the context of climate change, what a euphemism, climate collapse, climate disaster, global warming and mass extinction. And, you know, she wrote, "Burnt out people aren't equipped to serve a burning planet. So the well-being of our hearts and souls must be reestablished to their rightful place as relevant and essential." And I think that's really relevant to any of the bad news cycles, that we allow ourselves to reestablish the well-being of our hearts and souls, and that we actually consider self-care as a tool of action, as, you know, not avoidant, but actually as kind of crucial to doing something about the world. Because if you talk to activists, burnout is really real, right?
Of course.
So all of this, when we talk about coping and self-care, I think it can be dismissed as like not hard enough or not caring enough. But I actually think that's a trap. The reality is that self-care, self-love, knowing how to handle yourself is the only way you can take grief or rage or, you know, tragedy and turn it into action to bring on the next world that you want to be part of, the different world that you want to be part of.
Yeah. I agree with a lot of things you said, especially a part where you said it works differently for everybody. I think that's amazing to acknowledge that everybody's different in coping mechanisms work differently for everybody. So I did wanted to acknowledge that, and also how really feeding into the hate makes it worse. It's like a snowball effect, really. Like focusing on the negative makes you more disposed to negative behavior, negative thoughts, and negative emotion. Personally, stuff that I try to do, and what also another thing that Phoebe said real quick about taking care of yourself, I couldn't agree more. If you really are feeling like lethargic and have a burnout, then you need to spend time on your mental health, because you're going to be able to perform so much better, like working in full 100% effort and being able to put yourself into the work and feeling sluggish and depressed. So with me, I have a lot of ways to cope, and I think that, like I said, everybody is different, but I think these are pretty valuable. Meditating, for sure, that's very advised. It's free. You can do your own meditation where you just clear your head. There's many on YouTube. If you look up 10-minute guided meditation, they can really help. Just being able to let your thoughts be acknowledged by you without being obsessive, and being able to find calm. And there's a bunch of other ways to do that, not just meditation. You can go on walks. Exercise is a big part of it. Sunlight, make sure you're drinking water, because dehydration, not good. Make sure to stay hydrated, everybody. But yeah, with all that, it's good to acknowledge the good and bad. There's good and bad, and there's bad and good. And sometimes we have to see the world as both and keep on living regardless. With that being said, we're going to finish up this song, and then we're going to move to the news update. And we will be right back on 90.7 FM, WGXC.org, Catskill Clubhouse, broadcasting Catskill Acre Hudson. After this song, and then the news update. Saying it once again, and we're going to talk about more ways to cope and some other news when we get back. I hope you guys have a great time while we're gone.
WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. David Cruz reports at the Gothamist about the reactions to the murder of 19 elementary school children and two adults in Texas from Republicans running for governor in New York. Long Island Representative Lee Zeldin tweeted condolences. Andrew Giuliani, the son of former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, urged his Twitter followers to, and I quote, pray together with me for them, end quote. Millionaire hedge fund manager Harry Wilson called the shooting, and I quote, unimaginable and unacceptable on Twitter. Former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino called for, and I quote, enhanced background checks, end quote, but criticized politicians who, and I quote, rushed out to shamefully politicize this tragedy, end quote. Read the full story. Read more about this story at the Gothamist. Annie McDonald reports for NYN Media about how the now radical U.S. Supreme Court will probably soon overturn New York's rules about who can carry a concealed firearm in public. Scott Lemieux, a teaching professor of political science at the University of Washington, said of Tuesday's shooting in Texas, and I quote, we are now in an age in which the court is heavily polarized along party lines. 30 years ago, this kind of event could have made a difference. The reality is that there is pretty strong opposition among Republican elites to gun control. If Sandy Hook didn't change that, if the Orlando shooting didn't change that, it just seems unlikely that this is going to do it, end quote. The New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin decision is expected by the end of June. Two Rensselaer County residents brought the suit after applying for unrestricted licenses to carry handguns for self-defense. Instead, they got restricted licenses to carry handguns in specific settings, including hunting and target shooting. They claimed that was unconstitutional under the Second and Fourteenth Amendments. Eric Rubin, an assistant professor at Southern Methodist University's Dedman School of Law and a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice, said, and I quote, it seems like there's a majority of the Supreme Court who is skeptical about the constitutionality of New York's restriction. Chief Justice John Roberts said in November, and I quote, you don't have to say when you're looking for a permit to speak on a street corner or whatever that, you know, your speech is particularly important. So why do you have to show in this case, convince somebody that you're entitled to exercise your Second Amendment right, end quote. The state legislature is also expected to respond to the ruling. State Senator Michael Giannaris said, and I quote, we're not going to just sit back at a time of increasing gun violence and not react when the Supreme Court puts us in greater danger than we're already in. So you can rest assured that the legislature will move very quickly, end quote. Read more about this story at NYN Media. Ryan Whalen reports for New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul is moving forward with a proposal to block anyone under 21 years old from buying AR-15-style weapons, even though a California court recently struck down a similar law. In the last 2 weeks, 18-year-olds have used semi-automatic AR-15-style guns to commit mass murders in Buffalo and Uvalde, Texas. A few weeks ago, a California court ruled against banning 18-year-olds there from purchasing similar weapons. Hochul said, and I quote, "I'm not going to let my fear of losing a court case to stop me from what I think is correct for New Yorkers and will protect them, because you may get a good judge also who actually cares and has common sense and would understand that these are not punitive measures. We have the right to protect people as well, and I'll make that argument in court any day of the week," end quote. Former New York State Supreme Court Justice Penny Wolfgang agreed. She said, and I quote, "There was a dissent in the decision, number one, and number two, California is a different state from New York. Different court, different judges, and there may very well be a different interpretation," end quote. But when inevitable appeals of any potential lawsuit over the New York law head to the U.S. Supreme Court, will it have a chance to survive? Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a nice holiday weekend.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to WGXC Catskill Clubhouse, broadcasting Catskill Acre Hudson on 90.7 FM. And we're back after that song, which was, excuse me, Oasis, Live Forever. This is My Alcoholic Friends. We're going to play this in the background. And we're going to keep on talking, and we also have...
Hey, CJ Phoebs.
So, talking about all the bad news, there's another thing we could address, actually. I think would be a
what
good thing
got?
To talk about. The Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial.
Yeah, that's been intense, huh? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think before, how we were just talking about how we can try to take good from negative things and try to have a positive outlook, I think it's a good example for toxic relationships and, like, the warning signs. I think there's a lot of things we could derive from that. But looking at it as a whole, I think it's a tragic situation, and I feel sorry for both of them because a lot of it is caused by underlying mental health conditions. So it's hard not to have remorse for somebody with that going on. It's hard to... It's really a gray situation, or at least that's my view.
I think most things in the world are. I think we live in a world that lacks... Well, we live in a culture here that lacks enough nuance to really handle most difficult things. Like, this is another... It's another issue around violence, right?
Yeah.
What do we do with it? How do we make sense of it? And... You know, abuse is really difficult. You know, first off, I feel really awful for how much both, like, Amber Heard and Johnny Depp have been just, like, privy to all this public, like, scrutiny and harassment, and, like, especially Amber Heard, I think, like, you know, there is a bias in terms of, you know, against her as somebody being open about this violence. And I also think this idea of, you know, it's common when people are in abusive dynamics to become violent themselves in response, right? And it's really dangerous if we then say, oh, that person was actually just as abusive as the person who started it, because that's often not the case. And there are also many situations where women are violent in relationships and it doesn't get read as abuse, right? So this is just, like, riddled with complexity. And to me, the punchline is that we need restorative justice and alternative approaches to violence in our society, right? Because you're right, a lot of times abuse or violence is rooted in a person's own trauma, own suffering, own mental health issues. So if we're actually a compassionate society that cares about actually moving through the harm, we have to treat all the people involved as human to the extent we can, and provide space for people to be heard about the harms they've caused each other. But, you know, the minute you're called an abuser, it's actually really dangerous to be able to, like, your life can be on the line in some ways, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to own up to any violence that's been going on in your relationship, it can be really tricky to do that in a good way, because it happens. And so, anyway, I in no way know what happened with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp.
Yeah, that's definitely a good way to start off. Yeah.
yeah. But
no one else. Yeah, it's hard to say what really happened. It's all he said, she said.
Yeah. Right. And anybody that's in a violent relationship, I want them to, one, have the ability and the resources to walk away and to have their autonomy back. And secondly, I want space for us to be able to, as people, heal through violence and to become better people when it happens. Because I think violence is a lot more pervasive. A lot of people we acknowledge. We kind of, like, we see these extreme examples of violence, right, that we've just been talking about, Buffalo, Uvalde, like, mass shootings, you know, but there's a more I don't think we do a good job acknowledging the everyday violence that kind of exists in our culture, which is down to the way our systems treat people.
I agree. There's a lot of negative stigma that goes into
most of our responses to violence is more violence. You know, like that's
punish
the
punishment
with
another punishment.
Exactly. And then you have even more traumatized people.
I have to say that, like, in a abusive relationship like that, there's truly no winners. Even Johnny Depp's kids at school a long time ago, like, would get made fun of because of it. And that shows that even toxic relationships can affect other people involved. And a good thing to know about that, this is a little bit of a touchy subject, but setting boundaries is very important. If somebody is making you feel uncomfortable, you have the absolute right as a human to have alone time. And the way I like to look out of it is if there's going to be issues like that where it's that occurring and reoccurring, then you do have to face them and you have to say, hey, what's going on here? Because we're both getting hurt a lot. So we need to talk about it. Communication, I think, is key before it gets to a certain point.
Absolutely. Yeah, before it gets to a point. And I also think once it gets to a point where you don't feel safe, I think a lot of people don't want to leave because they want to work it out.
It's hard to...
You can take space and... But you can take space and still be committed to working something out. I think that's it's important for your own safety to say, like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go stay with my aunt for a couple of weeks because that just got really... That was really terrible. But I love you, and I want us to figure this out. So, like, let's talk in a week, you know? But you can create safer ways to actually continue to try to work something out with somebody, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree.
I really think it's important that people don't feel it's not one or the other, right? You can be committed to restorative justice, to loving people through violence, and keep yourself safe at the same time. It's important to do both.
I completely agree. I think that was a very good way of looking at it. I mean, with stuff like that, another lesson that I can say I believe in pretty thoroughly is that, and sometimes, you know, life can be tough and there's going to be a lot of things thrown your way, but the only person you can truly have the power to control and change is yourself at the end of the day. You can try to control what people do, but you can't control their thoughts or how they feel about you. No matter what, there's always going to be some sort of release to the conflict, like a negative action. It's hard to win in a situation like that.
Yeah, it's like, how do we have tools? I want us to have tools to fight back against oppression that don't replicate the oppression, right? Because we deserve to fight for our rights. We deserve to fight for peace. We deserve to have righteous rage or grief, you know, acknowledged and honored and responded to, right? Like, we got to do something with all that. But you know, what Audre Lorde said, that, you know, the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house, right? So that lesson is...
Yeah, I think that was very wise. With picking, like, you know, sometimes stuff like that can just leave me at a loss for words. This is a pretty deep conversation. I'm glad we're talking about it. And I think a lot of this kind of goes back to damage control and being able to help get yourself out of a sticky situation and help rely on yourself.
Have any thoughts for people on how to strengthen that muscle, like that ability to draw your own boundaries and, you know,
part
take
of it,
care of yourself?
It's hard, but part of it is being happy. I think you have to, mental health isn't something that you can push aside. Sometimes you have to face your fears head on, go back into the burning building to obviously metaphorically, to get what you lost. You can't just let it sit on the sidelines burning down, you know? You have to acknowledge it, whether it's meditating, talking to a therapist, talking to somebody you care personally, and any other coping mechanisms. It could be simple as listening to music or talking to friends, you know? Because that always helps with a lot of negative problems.
Yeah, y'all can't see what I can see, but there's some art therapy happening on the computer as we talk. So, you know, like, you can just open Paint and make abstract art to process your
feelings. Write lyrics down, yeah. It could be anything you like, really, yeah. It could be going outside and having a walk and grabbing a soda. I'm a big fan of soda, you know, appreciating the small things, you know, when you get a nice reward, a candy bar. Okay, so human brains, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here.
Yeah, go for
it. Actually perceive losses twice as much as gains. Like, if you lost $10, your brain would perceive that as much as finding 20, like, in terms of value.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to maximizing the negative part and, like, almost put yourself under kind of your own contract, I like to optimize into, instead of trying to acknowledge that negative works better, I don't like negativity, and I think there's ways you can cope with it. But I think the double positive, you know, reward yourself by getting a candy bar before doing something that you have to do that you hate, like your taxes, and then, you know, midway through you're like, okay, I'm gonna go on a walk now, and maybe I'll get another candy bar when I'm done. Like, you know, keep on adding rewards as incentives. That really helps me, because negative reinforcement can be good for some people, but, you know, it really is a personal thing. Back to that point.
What I learned, which is consistent with your statistic, right, that negativity tends to be a stronger force than positivity, is that if you want to encourage behavior change in someone else, for every negative reinforcement, like they do it wrong and you tell them that, you need to have four opportunities where you positively reinforce.
I agree.
Them, where you say, hey, you're doing it right. So that's what the research shows is the ideal ratio for behavior change is 4 positive reaffirmations for every 1 negative feedback. That's what tends to change human nature, right? And it's so powerful, I think, to just look for those little moments where we can thank someone for doing something that we appreciate. Because I think what happens is, like, you know, we take for granted a lot of times when people are doing things right, you know, it's sort of like the default expectation. So we don't necessarily acknowledge, like, hey, how many times have your teachers just said, hey, thank you all for making it to school today?
Yeah, for
right?
real.
Like, it's small. It doesn't feel like they need to, right? Because it's expected. But that would be a positive reinforcement that would then balance out that, hey, you were late and you're going to get written up, right? Positive reinforcement is really powerful. And it helps remind people that they're good people too, that they have something to offer.
Yeah, that's something that I like to bring up a lot. I thought of this earlier, but it slipped my mind when I was talking of something else. But, oh my god, it almost just slipped my mind again. Please remind me. Quick. My friend. Oh.
I was talking about positive reinforcements and how that helps people know that they're a good person and that they make a difference in people's lives. That's important.
Yes. Oh my. It slipped my mind. Positive. Oh.
That's okay.
Okay. That's okay. But be positive.
Tune in next week.
I'm having a huge brain moment, but that's okay. See, we're staying positive here.
We do this show on Friday night, y'all. We're tired. Full week of school.
Oh,
work,
yeah.
All that, so.
I mean, that's something we could talk about. Oh, I remember now. Perfect. I mean, something that I think we need to remember before every other label we have, we all share one in common, and I think it really outweighs all the tribalism, nationalism that we can kind of deassociate humanity with certain people sometimes. And it's that before anything else, we're all people. We have to acknowledge that. We all, like, I don't know who said this, but somebody close to me made a point where it's, like, oh my god, my mind is just foggy today. I'm so sorry, everybody. It's that time of day, you know?
But yeah, we're all human. I hear what you're saying, though. Yeah, we're all human. And
oh, yeah. The example.
That shared, yeah, that compassion, that shared humanity. Yeah.
Was like, look how everybody treats their animal, no matter who they are. Like, look at people treating their pets. Like, everybody. Like, there's people who you would consider a terrible person who are this and this, but then they get home and then they feed their pet and they cuddle with them. And, you know, even if you disagree with a lot of their morals, it can be good for both of you to acknowledge the positive. But I understand how that's hard as well.
Yeah, it's just, we gotta get to, we are sadly coming, we're still living in a time where not everybody's full humanity is seen and respected, right? We have, and that's so obvious in these shootings, right? I mean, the reality is that Buffalo was very evidently a white supremacist shooting, but Uvalde was predominantly Hispanic, Latinx youth, right? Like, far and away, right? And so black and brown people being dehumanized. The news around abortion rights, right?
Yeah.
And women's rights.
There's so much to talk about.
People who can reproduce these bodies. Transgender rights, right? And so right now there's an attack on people's humanity at a really fundamental level. So I'm with you. And I think the way we fight for those rights is to keep lifting up each other's shared humanity. And this is where solidarity comes in, right? How do white transgender people recognize that their struggle is caught up in, you know, black system? That's right, like, we are in this together. Because at the end of the day, almost all of us carry something that culture or society tells us we shouldn't, but it's ours. So solidarity in that is what's going to carry us, I think, in the end.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many things to say, but I think that's a good place to leave us off today. We had a great conversation. I thought that show went great. I had a great time talking, a lot of good points. Very therapeutic show, if I say myself.
Thank you for bringing it today. I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah, of course. My pleasure.
To talk about the serious stuff, but continue to also uplift.
Yeah,
so.
Of course. Thank you to WGXE.org. And we're on 90.7 FM, broadcasting Catskill, Acre, Hudson. Our views are ours, and they do not represent the actual Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. And we're going to end it off with a nice, mellow song. And I hope you guys have an amazing day. You too, Phoebs.
Have a good long weekend, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Uh-oh. My bad, everybody. That's an ad. Ignore that. Do-do-do-do. We're going to have to wait past that. I guess we're not ending yet. Any shout-outs you would like to do, Phoebs?
Yeah, well, I'm going to shout out I want to shout out just everyone who is Youth Clubhouse. All the staff, all the young people who just create this culture we're talking about every day. Upliftment. Rock on.
Yeah. Shout out to the youth in general and all humans, I guess. I hope you guys have an amazing night. And we'll tune in next week.